your vision. Help us, even in the reading of the word this morning and the teaching of the word, Lord, to surrender the things that are all about us. May it be all about you today and forevermore. And I pray for Anth today, Lord, that you would just pour out your Holy Spirit, that we welcome you here, Lord, that your word would go forth with power and truth, with encouragement, with comfort and compassion and peace. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
If you want to stand for a moment, just wave to somebody, or just sit and wave to somebody. Just, since we can't do our traditional hugs and stuff like that, you say hi to somebody, wave. And after your wave, you can open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. So we're going to probably cover verses 1 to 39. I will tell you right now, the morning service is definitely an experiment for me. I had six little points I wanted to cover about the newness of things that we find in the Acts chapter 13. We got to number one. So, all that to say, if you're a fill in the blanks person, and I am, don't be disappointed. We'll get there next week for sure. But as you're going to Acts chapter 13, I can tell you with certainty that it is a chapter full of new things. As a matter of fact, most of you probably in your Bibles, when you go to Acts chapter 13, it says Paul's first missionary journey. Eventually it says that. But I'm going to call this a new season. A new season. Because really, even as we talk about the change of the season from summer, or from spring to summer, and read some poems about things growing and changing, this chapter brings forth some new things that we haven't seen before. Chapters 1 through 12 of the book of Acts documented the preaching of the gospel, just like Jesus said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. But beginning in Acts 13, it's about to go to the uttermost parts. It's going to go to new places. They're going to see new faces. So all races. Initially, you could say that the church was 100% Jewish. On the day of Pentecost, it says that Jews were gathered for the feast of Shavuot, 50 days after the first fruits, and they came from all places. And when the Holy Spirit fell upon, overflowed the apostles, they spoke in languages that they had not learned, unknown tongues to them. And these Jews heard them speak the word of the Lord in their native languages. Even though the apostles had never gone to, they never had taken what do you call Rosetta Stone, or gone to a language academy and learned all these different languages, the Spirit filled them, and then it says they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. And as they spoke forth, they got the attention of these Jews that were there. And then, of course, once the Spirit had gotten their attention, Peter preaches the gospel. And it says, on that day, as they believed on Jesus, 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. That's a breaking forth. That's a true opening of the church there. And that was huge. But there were some of the Jews there that did not take so kindly to that whole idea. Because, of course, they held to the traditions and the practices of the old covenant. And they were really displeased by this new covenant idea, this new covenant of grace through faith in Jesus Christ, through his finished work on the cross. This was a radical departure for them, because a lot of these Jews had grown up their whole lives seeing the priest offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people and bringing their sacrifices. But now they're told that because of Jesus Christ, they could come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace in their time of need, because he was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And so for them, it was a big change. It was hard to accept. And if you haven't figured it out by now, change in life is the norm rather than the exception. I love things to say to say. I really do. I like things. I like traditions. Again, I will repeat the same vacation every year if I could for the rest of my life. I'll go to the same place that my dad took me. I'll sit in the same spot. And in a sense, it brings my dad forth to me to think about him as I'm enjoying my own family, going to that same place every year. But that's not how life is. Life changes. Changes come. And the one sure thing that we have that never changes again is God's Word and Jesus Christ. And we can hold to the anchor. We can build our life on the rock. All other ground is shifting sand. That's what the song says. But He is the sure rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. So, now Jesus had told them, you'll be my witnesses. So there's the apostles. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts. And now, Acts 13, we're going to take it to the outermost parts. We see Saul and Barnabas being instructed by the Holy Spirit to move or to sail in a new direction. And you know, being that we still have some younger people in the service now, I thought they would appreciate especially a little mini video of what we're going to be reading about. I wish I would have done this 4 weeks ago, because now Children's Church is going to start again next week. But this is what it might have been like, maybe, as Paul and Barnabas go forward. This is 2 minutes and 14 seconds. But it's a recreation of what it might have been like when Paul and Barnabas were sent out by the Holy Spirit. So take a look at it. See, have a visual association.
Acts chapter 13. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said,
just a second.
Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting, Acts chapter 13. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. There, in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogues and preached the word of God. Paul and Barnabas traveled inland to Antioch of Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they went to the synagogue for the services. After the usual readings from the books of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent them this message. Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it. So Paul stood, lifted his hands to quiet them, and started speaking. As Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue that day, the people begged them to speak about these things again the next week. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas and to urge them to continue to rely on the grace of God. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. When some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous, so they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, it was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews. But since you have rejected it and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message. And all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Then the Jews stood up the influential religious women.
Wow. So again, I've been a teacher for 8 years. There is value in having a visual association sometimes. And again, this church did their best to bring that forth of how it might have been as we think about these things. It brings them to life a bit. These are real people. And as Lacey told me, that Paul's too old right there. He needs to be a little bit younger, she said. So I said, who knows? But it might have been like that. And so now we have that little picture in our minds. But let's read through. Let's read book of Acts chapter 13. Now that we have a little picture of what it might have been like, we're going to read verse 1 through 39. And again, then we'll cover just a bit and we'll do our best we can. With plenty of time left for Father's Day brunch for all of you fathers. So here we go. Acts 13. Now in the church, that was at Antioch. And again, it seems like the base of the church is now at Antioch. It moved from Jerusalem. Antioch. Antioch seems to be the sending church. They're sending out a lot of missionaries at this point. And every time in the book of Acts now, Paul will go back to Antioch, not Jerusalem, to kind of reestablish or refuel himself. Now, again, verse 1. Now, the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. The letter for today is S, by the way. If you're a Sesame Street fan, there is more S's in here than you're going to find in any other chapter. It says they also had John as their assistant. And this is John Mark. Again, the same John Mark that wrote the Gospel of John, who might have been maybe a teenager when Jesus was living, and now he might be in his, they think maybe his mid-20s. So this is their assistant, John, Julian Mark. Verse 6. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. This is like the governor, you might say, of the area. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, this is very PG, by the way, "O full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" By the way, do you think Paul was seeker friendly? You know, we think about churches being seeker friendly, they make it all real nice and cozy. Man, Paul just like puts it out there. Verse 10, "And now indeed that the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand." Verse 12, "Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia," there's the P, "and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." And this will be mentioned later in the book of Acts, that he left being their assistant. Verse 14, "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, 'Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it, say on.' Then Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, 'Men of Israel and you who fear God, listen, the God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it.'" Again, Paul's going to give her a history lesson that's going to cover 1,000 or more years in a matter of a minute. It's amazing. "Now, for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their lands to them by allotment." Again, you find this in Deuteronomy, Joshua, you can read about it in detail. "After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. Verse 22. "And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.' From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I'm not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him," again speaking of Jesus. "And though they found no cause for death in Jesus, in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death." Here it is, Good Friday. "Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. And from Easter, God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee, speaking of the apostles and disciples, to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you, glad tidings, that promise which was made for the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken truth, and thus I will give to you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, he also says in another Psalm, "You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption." For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. And when they speak of corruption, they speak of the decay of the body. That didn't happen to Jesus. He rose again, of course. But David, who of course they esteem like Moses, what Paul's, the point he's making is Jesus was so much greater than David and Moses. Verse 38, therefore, conclusion, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And that's as far as we're going to use it. We'll finish that next week. So Paul, like Stephen, like Peter, masterfully lays out the history of Israel from Abraham up into the coming of Jesus Christ, showing that Jesus is the fulfillment. He is the accomplishment of what all the prophets spoke of. From the days of Abraham all the way through David, Jesus is the Messiah that was promised. And again, many of those prophets, priests, and kings died having not yet seen the promise fulfilled. They didn't see Jesus, but we have. So they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. We look back, and he came. Indeed, he came. And so Peter, Paul, Stephen, they all tie Jesus always into the Old Testament because he was seen in the Old Testament prophets. He was the one spoken of. He was the one that God offered himself a sacrifice, provided himself as a sacrifice. He was the Passover lamb. And so as Paul speaks to them, they realize, wow, could it be? Could Jesus be the one that the prophets and fathers that we esteem so highly spoke of? Indeed, he is what Paul said. So, it starts out in Antioch, which again is the base of the operations of the church, it seems like. And the church leadership, according to verse 1, right off the bat, is quite a diverse group. It mentions Simeon, called Niger, who some believe is the same Simeon that helped Jesus carry the cross. And he and this Lucius were both probably from North Africa. And then there was Barnabas, who was from the island of Cyprus, where they're being sent out to. And it would be like you, Nathan, being sent out as a missionary to Julian. And you say, well, I know Julian. First we go to the miner's diner and get fueled up. Then we go out and start preaching the gospel by the, you know, by the cider mill. And so in the same way, how about that, huh? That was a little spark there, a little fire there. So it's kind of interesting. I'll just keep on going. So Barnabas gets sent out to his hometown to be a counselor. Okay, are we still on the microphone?
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. Well, he sends out Barnabas to be the one to go to his hometown. What a privilege that is. And again, many of you who come to Christ Jesus, you'll have the opportunity, maybe through a class reunion, where you go to visit your mom or your dad, you can go and see one of your old friends, and all of a sudden they say, "Hey, Matthew, you know, let's go back to the old Crab Shack and let's go party on." And Matthew says, "Well, I'll go with you to the Crab Shack, but I'm not that guy I used to be before." And so we have the privilege of bringing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to our hometown like Barnabas did. And then there was Manan, who was a childhood friend of Herod the Tetrarch. Can you imagine being a friend of the very one who ordered the execution of John the Baptist? But yet Manan was that guy. He saw the worst of what was going on, the persecution. And then, of course, there was Saul, who in this chapter is going to be renamed Paul. and a Hebrew of Hebrews, yet he had a grasp on the Greek culture because most of his childhood friends were probably Grecian. They were Hellenists. They were Greek-speaking Jews. So this is a diverse group. And the point is this. The reason I bring it up is because people, especially in the last month, are unifying themselves under certain banners and, you know, holding signs. And there's protests that are, you know, protests again, good and acceptable in America. It's part of America. Riots, not good. But people are uniting under either the death of somebody, George Floyd, or another injustice. But I want to remind you that nothing unites people like Jesus Christ. We can be different colors. We can speak different languages. We can have, again, one of us can like the Dodgers, somebody else can like the Cubs. But yet, because of that, because we have Jesus Christ in common, I can love Jed even though he has the Cubs hat, even though I like the Dodgers. That stuff is so small compared to our unity in Jesus Christ. That brings us together. And this is a perfect example of that. They come together from all different tribes and nations and colors, and yet Jesus Christ is what unites them. That's why I encourage us. If we don't go out to be a part of a protest or anything like that, we have an opportunity to share something. Let's share the good news of Jesus Christ. Because that's where change is going to happen, at the level of the heart. You know, some of these people might have the justice they're hoping for, but if justice was really put out in the same measure to themselves, the same people who are crying for justice for this killing, if they were one who broke a window instead of building on fire, then justice for them would be 20 years in prison for arson and theft. So I think what we really desire more than justice is grace and mercy. And we know that because we received it in Jesus Christ. And we're so glad that God didn't give us justice. Because if we got justice, we'd be condemned to hell forever. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I don't have justice. It was not given to me. I would prefer mercy and grace any day over justice. But I understand the point. The point is, we want to see somebody who did something bad, we want to see them punished. We want to, that's what we say is justice. It'll only rest when the justice comes. But again, the Bible is clear that Jesus took our punishment upon himself. And so we live under the new covenant of grace. Nobody has to pay for our sins any longer. We can't pay for our sins. Jesus took it all. Praise the Lord for that. Anyway, it says these men were ministering to the Lord. They were ministering to the Lord. But their ministry to the Lord involved loving other people. And again, the Bible is clear that the way that we serve Jesus is by loving others. Whatsoever you do to the least of these, that you do unto me, is what Jesus said. So we love Jesus by loving others. It says, they fasted, and the Holy Spirit said to them, now separate from me Paul and Barnabas for the work which I have called them to do. Now, how do you suppose the Holy Spirit spoke to them? How did that happen? I don't know if you think about that sometimes. I do. I'm sure you do too. And it says very plainly that he said it. Now, the fact that there were prophets in that church, in that group right there, it says there were certain prophets and teachers, and it names them. I'm under the impression that as they fasted and prayed, that one of those guys, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, Paul and Barnabas, it's clear, I received the word from the Lord, he's here to go to Cyprus, to Salamis, and preach the gospel in the synagogue, the word of salvation. And so that word came to them. We have the whole counsel of God in the scriptures now. They didn't have the New Testament. We have the New Testament to look to. And the Holy Spirit speaks directly to us through the Word of God. Sometimes he uses others, yes. But back in that day, they didn't have that. And so, of course, the apostles had those apostolic gifts of prophecy and healing and things like that. And so it gave them credence. It gave them the credibility to say, here's what God's told me. Go forth from here. And so that's how the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And again, I would encourage you, me, all of us, this week, if possible, to spend some time maybe fasting and praying and see what the Lord would have for us. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a long time and you're kind of in a, stagnant state. And you think, I'm just going to coast out. I'm going to put it on cruise control until, you know, the Lord takes me home. That's not what God would have. God would have you to open your life to him, and he would do a fresh work in you. He would do a new thing, send you to somewhere that you haven't gone before. So this week I would encourage you, fast a bit, maybe put 2 hours between, you know, one meal and the next, or skip a meal, and give yourself to praying, and see what the Lord would do, would say to you, as you put your flesh aside, our body cravings, just for a bit, and maybe become more sensitive to what God would have to tell us. But I told you we'd get to number one, and here it is, in your outline. Through praying and fasting, the Holy Spirit sends them out on a new mission. It's a mission, that's right. Again, the way I guess you could summarize it, being that S is the word for the day, Barnabas and Saul, under the direction of the Spirit, sail from Seleucia towards Cyprus and Salamis, arriving at the synagogue to reason from the scriptures the message of salvation. That's it. You know, you can summarize it in one sentence like that. It's always in that order. The gospel always went forth to the Jew first. So any town that had 10 or more Jews, they had a synagogue. Right here? And if they didn't have a synagogue, they met by the river. That's why later in the book of Acts, they go to some places where they meet Lydia by the river, because they didn't have a synagogue there. But the gospel always went forth to the Jew first. As Romans 1:16 says, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile." That's the order they went in. And now Acts chapter 13. The Gentiles are a big part of the gospel being spread. As a matter of fact, Paul is so frustrated with opposition by the Jews themselves that he says, "We brought forth the word of God to you. You rejected it. And so now we're going to focus on the Gentiles." Now, Paul seems to be frustrated, because the truth is, if we read Acts chapter 14, 15, he still goes to the Jews first, always. He has God's called him to be the apostle to the Jews. To the Gentiles, but he still goes to the Jews first. That's how it is. Jesus said, that's the way you ought to do it. So, final thought. We're going to wrap it up. On every mission that God sends us on, I'm talking to us, all of us, the Bible says we become his ambassadors. We represent Jesus. As a matter of fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, "Therefore, you are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through you." What's the appeal? What's the message? Be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. "For he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God." So we all are Christ's ambassadors. And what does an ambassador do? He represents a person or a place so much greater than himself. So if Judah becomes an ambassador one day, and that he gets sent to the Philippines, I know he's got that Filipino root, you know, in him. He gets sent there. He's going to become an ambassador, not just for the United States, but for Jesus Christ, because he's going to be a missionary. So a missionary doesn't represent so much a place. He represents Jesus. And that's the ambassador that you're going to be one day, as you go and bring forth Jesus to the people. What a great privilege that is. And I'll end with this thought from one of my favorite Bible teachers, J. Vernon McGee. He's a lot of our favorites. Through the Bible radio program with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I love that guy. He's from Texas, you know. And, he wraps up the gospel in such a special, simple way, but yet always interjects a little bit of humor every few pages as we go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. But he said this. This is not funny. It's real. He says, "The movement of the gospel is to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are still in that movement today. Here's you. How are you?" I mean, that both is my timer for you need to stop, but it's also the timer for the chicken pot pie that's in the oven, by the way, sister, in the office. So, just go check. So, it's end for me, and it's chicken pot pie for Father's Day. I had to plan my whole year for Father's Day, so, you know. I wanted chicken pot pie, so I bought it the other day. Went to the pie company. I said, "I'm going to put this in between services." My wife and my daughters, they would have made me anything I wanted. I wanted that pie, and I wanted to serve his head, so there you go. That's part of my life right there. So he says, the movement of the gospel is to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're still in that movement today. That's why Acts is the unfinished book of the Bible, because we carry on the book of Acts now. We're the modern-day disciples. And he says, how are you involved in that movement, Jed? How are you involved in that movement, John? how are you then involved in that? How are you sharing Vince involved in that movement of Christ through the gospel? Lacey, Layton, Leland, I can go through every name in here. Yeah. Right now, Karen, Mark's wife, Mark is right here. She's, again, like I said, she's going to bring the movement of the gospel to some faraway place. She's a Navy nurse, right? And where is she going?
Ryan.
Right, I'm sorry, Ryan. I keep saying Mark. Ryan, yes. So where is she going?
The Pacific. Okay. It's called Pacific Partnership. They're going to build some schools and things like that.
Okay, so there you go. She's going to go, and she, as she brings medical and does things for the Navy, she's going to bring forth the gospel. This week, again, once again, please, I want to encourage you. Spend some extra time in prayer, and if you're able, I don't want you to pass out, but the idea of fasting, it's uncomfortable. It is a discipline. I tell you right now, I know it is. And usually we get hangry when we don't eat, right? You're hungry and you're angry, and then we say, don't approach somebody when you're hungry and angry. You're not gonna represent Jesus well. But be by yourself somewhere. And before you go back to your wife or your husband, eat something so they'll be nice to them. But give yourself to prayer and fasting, and let the Lord speak to you something fresh and see what he gives you. Next week we're going to cover, I'm going to give you the blanks. Do you like to fill in the blanks? Here's what's coming next week. Paul's going to face new opposition. That's number two on the new right there. So we have new mission, new opposition, Elymas the sorcerer. And we're going to talk about sorcery next week. It's not child's play. Sorcery is a real thing. And then we go on, we're going to see a new name. Number three, a new name is given to Saul. It becomes Paul. And again, Saul means appointed one. Paul means little one or puny one. It's where the name we get for our chess piece, the pawn. The littlest piece of the chess table is where we get that name. And so people think maybe it was an act of humility on Saul's part to take the name Paul. We'll talk about that. Number four, we'll get to a new revelation as Paul reveals that it was for us that the gospel was, that Jesus came. He, all those prophets and priests that came, it came to this moment now, and he gives a new revelation to the Jews there. They should have seen it, but they didn't see it. So Paul makes it clear that the salvation is for us first, the Jews, and then to the Gentiles. Number five, he's going to talk about the new covenant. No sermon was ever preached without the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the cornerstone of the church, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the new covenant we're going to talk about. And finally, six. And we can even say this one today. Verse 52, it says this. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They were refreshed. They were renewed in the Spirit. That's number six there. The renewal of the Spirit takes place continually in our lives. We're born of the Spirit once. We're born again of the Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit. But the one that's continual is the overfilling or the flowing of the Spirit through our lives so we can go forth and share the gospel. Wherever we go, that's that overflowing torrent of living water. And so, at the conclusion of the matter, let's end with you. What fresh thing does the Lord want to do in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit? And again, just encouraging you to spend time with the Lord this week. We're going to end with that. And before you leave, I encourage you, if you want to pick up a little book, it would bless Kathy and Tim immensely. If you want to, if you don't have the money with you, just write a little IOU. They'll honor that. And anyway, let's pray. So Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you that you've given us a mission, Lord. You've given us a mission. And God, each one of our missions are different. We're a ministry. And maybe, Lord, we fulfilled that ministry that you gave us, and now you have something new for us. God, help us through prayer and fasting to hear what you have to tell us. As we open your word and we pray, Lord, you might have something fresh for us. And God, help us now. And Lord, we know we're going to face opposition, right? Certainly, as we go forth from here, even if we go to see our dads now, maybe there's going to be a brother or a sister that is going to oppose us, Lord. Help us to have the love and conviction of Jesus Christ in our lives, Lord, to go and bring forth the gospel, Lord. And Lord, we know, again, you reveal all kinds of new things to us. Help us to be open to that this week, open to that. And again, help us to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. As you fill us with your Spirit, Lord. But I'm praying that if there's anybody listening or here today that has never had a new life, they've never been born again of the Spirit. Well, Jesus, let this be the start of a new season. As they pray a prayer like this, dear Jesus, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Somebody has shared the gospel with me before, and I rejected you, Jesus. I pushed you away. And now I want to receive you, Jesus. Please, through the cross, Lord, through the blood that was shed, would you forgive my sins now? Would you make me white as snow, Lord? And give me that new life you promised. And from this day forward, Lord, let this be the beginning of my new life in Christ Jesus. So I thank you for that. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, well, thanks so much for sticking around. We're a little long there, but thank you for hanging in there with me. Boy, I wish I could offer you cookies. Hey, next week, by the way, good news, cookies and coffee will be back next week. And so we're going to have individual servings of snacks. So maybe that's going to get you back next week. I don't know. We'll finish up Acts 13. Might venture into Acts 14, but at least now you have a preview of what's coming. So God bless you as you go. Boy, Emily is going to right now be Kathy Berg. She's going to be on the table. So if you want to pick up a book, she'll collect it. If you want to give her some money that will go towards the book, that's great. But again, if you don't have it, bring it next week. You can write, I owe you $13, Matthew Roberts, you know, whatever it is.
Tips are appreciated.
Yes, so appreciate it. It's going to be a blessing. So if you didn't bring a Father's Day present with you and you need one, pick up the devotional. If you want to bring a devotional to your dad, take one for sure. And take a book maybe with it, a book of poetry. All dads love poetry. So there you go, Matthew.
Just as long as everybody doesn't put my name.
No. You can't write that. Right? No. Don't put Matthew Roberts. No, definitely not. That's right. So God bless you guys. Have a great rest of the day. See you next week.